Vandeham Sri Guru Shiyataf Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavans Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sajivam. You ready? Should I start? Now I'll speak on the culture of smiling. This is not directly taken from Shastra, but it's meant to give Shastric insights on an everyday phenomenon. And to help us to learn to see everything through the perspective of Shastra. Smiling is a natural indication of happiness. It's presumed if someone is smiling that they are happy. And after all, what greater attainment is there than happiness? Everyone wants to be happy. The dog also wags his tail. The dog doesn't smile, but the dog wags its tail. See, that's the dog's equivalent of smiling. So smiling is more common in some cultures than others. Thai people are often called the smiling Thais because they smile a lot. It's in their culture to smile. Whereas others tend to be more grim, especially the stereotype of the Germans is that they're very grim-faced, serious, be serious. Chinese often also. In my experience, at least, of course, China's race is a huge race, and but at least in my experience in Southeast Asia, Chinese, they tend to be a little tight on the smiles. They don't let themselves smile too much. Smiling, apart from indicating one's happiness, has social implications. It expresses approval. If you smile at someone, that may be to show that you approve of what they are doing. It may express romantic desire. A girl smiles at a boy, or vice versa, and they become smitten with the smitter. Smitter means smiling, so they become smitten by the arrows of Cupid. It can also show derision. It can show approval. It can also show derision. If it's laughing, laughing or bordering on laughing, smiling and laughing are interrelated. I guess you could say laughing is a further stage of smiling. So it can show derision of others. Do you know what derision means? It means insulting disapproval. People may also smile to give others the impression that they are nice, they want to be considered nice. According to modern psychologists, babies need to be smiled at, and adults also need to be smiled at, but especially babies, if they're brought up with lots of smiles, it helps to assure them that all is well in the world. So they're smiling to show that you are nice. This is often misused because, after all, we live in the world of the cheaters and the cheated. So smiling, which is supposed to, it's presumed that smiling is sincere, but it's often used to cheat others. It's often deliberately false. Shakespeare, who was never heard of in India previously, but is now well known because the English have decided that he's the world's greatest poet in history, although in India there's Vyasa, Valmiki, and others. Shakespeare spoke of damned smiling villains. You probably don't know what that means. Damned is a, in this sense, it's a word of disapproval. Smiling, you know what that means, and villain means a rogue, a rascal. So someone who's smiling, but he's smiling and being a rascal, but smiling as he does it. Or in Shakespeare is known as the bard, and in which means poet. So in the words of a modern bard, John Lennon. Yeah, he's not. It's not Shastra, but some interesting insights. John Lennon Uvacha. There's room at the top. They are telling you still. But first, you must learn to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill. In other words, he's talking about people who smile as they kill you. That's why I often said that Hitler was better than George Bush, because at least Hitler just said, we're rascals and we're better than you and we're going to take over your country. But George Bush sent in the forces of the United States, the United whatever, with to liberate Afghanistan and Iraq from tyranny and bring human rights and justice and democracy and all those things. Of course, they had to suffer a few bombs, but after all, they were American bombs, so you should be grateful for that. And now the Obama administration, with a more peaceful face, a more human-like face, is doing, they're planning the same thing. They're going to attack Iran because it's politics. So some politicians, they yell and scream, and others, they smile. But it's all the same agenda, that's all. Just a different face. Of course, not all smiling is so calculated and bad, but basically, it is all false. Smiling of materialistic people is all false, in as much as everything they do is false. And they may be smiling because they feel happy, but that happiness is just it's an expression of their forgetfulness of Krishna. And the fact that there is no real pleasure in this world, so what is there to be happy about anyway? In one sense, the people who are miserable, they're more realistic. In one sense. And they don't know Krishna. Either you're miserable and you don't know Krishna, but at least you know you should be miserable. And those who are smiling, they're trying to be happy without Krishna. Different parts of the world, smiling, being nice, all this part of being nice, generally considered one should be nice, be good. Like in America, it's common to say to others, have a great day, or have a great time. Even in a shop, I was surprised once, we stopped on a highway and bought something in a shop. And the guy at the counter said, have a great day, although most of the day was already over. But they're trained they're trained to say that. It's not as if the guy behind the counter gives a damn what you do or who you are. It's just another customer. But they're trained to say that. Have a great day. Which means we hope that your plans to play at being God work out well. We give you our blessings, not that they have any potency to give others blessings. Play at being God to the best of your ability. That is the implication of have a great day. I spoke about the smiling Thais. The cultural norm in Thailand is to show you're always happy and always smile. Whatever happens, they're supposed to smile. That's their culture. They're trained like that. And, well, I guess you get this sense of a happy people if they're always smiling. But then if you're trained culturally to always smile, it doesn't mean that automatically you're happy. There's all kinds of things going on inside. And so just like in I was raised in England, where the culture is to be very polite and say please and thank you. And when Americans come to England, they think, oh, these people are very polite because they're always saying please and thank you. But in British culture, those who are raised in it, they know the subtleties, that there are ways of saying please and thank you in ways that express, even though it sounds very polite, there's ways to say these things in a manner that expresses scorn or anger. It's not necessarily that you're being nice to others. So in the Thai culture, they also have subtle ways to express negativity, and they go on smiling and smiling and smiling. Inside they may be angry with someone, and it's quite common that in Thailand someone just, they're smiling and smiling and smiling, all of a sudden they pull out a knife and kill someone because inside they're angry, and then when they just can't bottle it up anymore, they just commit some violence. There's nothing in between smiling and extreme reaction, which is why in a completely different culture, that's a very subtle culture, you could say, in as much as they try not to express disapproval. But of course it comes out in various ways. But in America they have a different kind of culture where the straightforwardness is considered a good quality. You say what you feel. You just come out straight with it so that people know where you're at. So in Indian culture also, people smile more than in other places I've been in. It's quite noticeable. Next week I'm supposed to go to Arabia. So among Arabs, you won't find them smiling so much. Among Europeans, especially North Europeans, Russians. I mean, it's not that smiling is extremely rare, but it's not as common. Sunil Madhav Prabhu, he's from India, working in Dubai, and his boss is from Holland. So there, he's working for some Dutch company, and their total staff in Dubai is two, that company, his boss and him. I don't know what, they take orders or something like that. So Sunil Madhav told me that recently he was receiving his boss at the airport, and when his boss came, Sunil Madhav was smiling at him. And his boss said, "Why are you smiling?" He couldn't work it out why he was being asked. And he said, "Well, I'm smiling to show that I'm happy that you've come." And the boss kind of understood it a bit, because in their culture, presumably in that North European culture, smiling more it more often expresses that you're laughing at someone rather than receiving them happily. They don't, you know, life is very serious. You have to work hard. And I guess that's why the Dutch, despite being small population, they're very intelligent and accomplished within the world, because they're very seriously, like Germans, like work hard and like this. But they're so serious about working hard that they don't smile much. So they even become disturbed if someone is smiling. In every culture, there are appropriate times for showing joy and sorrow. Sometimes if you smile, it's wrong to smile. It's wrong to appear happy. And just like if you go to a burning of a dead body, you're not supposed to show happiness, right? There are a couple of occasions I heard of where devotees were doing Harinam in public, and devotees became, the people became upset with them. One time was the Prime Minister of Sweden, Olaf Palme, I believe his name was shot dead. It was a shock, because things like that don't happen in Sweden. They only happen in America and uncivilized countries like India, but not in Sweden. The Prime Minister can't get shot dead. But he did. This was maybe 20 years ago. And devotees, being transcendental as usual, they don't read the newspaper or know what's in the news. So as usual, they went out for Harinam. And people were upset. Why are you singing and dancing happily? Our Prime Minister's just been shot. On another occasion, more recently, the devotees were performing Harinam in Croatia. They were they go regularly on a tour of Croatia in the summer, doing Harinam. So one group of devotees, or actually there are more than one now, they've been doing this for years. So one day in the summer they went out as usual, and people were all upset. Why are you going out being so happy? Because the day before, the Croatian national football team had lost a game in the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup, so it was considered wrong to be happy at that time. So this is an analysis of the stupidities of, yeah, we can laugh, we can smile at the stupidity of the karmis, that devotees, then they're not supposed to be happy because of some football game got lost. They call it lost. What does it mean to win a football game or lose a football game? It's just you made up these rules, and then you say if you do this you win, if you do that you lose, but it's just all just made up. That's all. It's just there's no substance to it whatsoever. Smiling. Let's smile. Everyone smile. Okay. 1, 2, 3. It's supposed to make you feel happy. If you're not feeling happy, you can practice smiling. It might make you feel happier. That's the principle on which this Osho, he taught this laughter meditate. You must have seen that. It's quite popular in Gujarat, I've seen it. Maybe in other parts of India also. Group of men, they come out in the park in the morning and they go, ho, 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 ho. They all go together. I don't think Osho invented this. I believe this was borrowed from some Buddhist so-called meditation. So it's supposed to get out all the stress and make you feel happy and this, and I don't know what it's supposed to do. But artificially, you can smile. And it might work to some extent. Just like in a drama, the person who's playing the part, he can really play the part well if he really feels it. So in the drama, if someone's angry at someone else, if they actually feel they're angry, then they can play the part very well. Of course, that could be dangerous, because, I mean, if you actually feel it so well, you might just beat up the person you're angry with, and you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be playing a drama. So to some extent, you can, that may work, but it may alter the mental state. But the actual happiness is the happiness of the soul. Gokul Chandra told me sometime, he was at some seminar, some devotee's seminar, and the conclusion of the lecture was, the most important thing is to smile. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, the most important thing is to surrender to Krishna. Sukhe dukhe samay kritva. There's Krishna states that in the material world there is happiness and distress, and one should be equipoised in both. So this smiling you can do artificially, like the smiling ties. Or you can be straightforward like the Americans and smile when you actually feel happy. But either way, it's just false, because everything in this mature world is false. It's all insincere. A prime example of that is that, that boy in the shop, you have a great day, you smile at the customer. And then the person you're smiling at thinks, oh, this is a very good person. Then you trust them, and then you buy their product. Or you feel good about going to the shop because you like to go to the shop because the staff deal with you nicely, like this. Like the Indian railways, they on their train timetable, they put the motto, serving customers with a smile. Which is supposed to mean, I guess, that they serve you with a smile, although it actually means that they only serve customers who smile. But anyway, they don't know English properly. So the smiling of materialists is insincere. It is all part of the mutual drama that everyone is playing a part in. It's like a big fantasy, big dream that everyone is part of. Everyone is helping everyone else to be an illusion. That we are happy in this material world, and we're all supposed to play our part in that. Smile or be happy when the football team wins. You should be unhappy when they lose. But a devotee doesn't care about any of these things. Devotee is simply concerned with the service of Krishna. It's all the smiling and the cursing and the happiness and the distress of materialists, it's all just part of the big illusion of forgetting Krishna. So devotees, they should see this. We shouldn't be carried away by thinking, someone is very nice because they smile, or they're very nice because they hold peace conferences. Just like some of the Nobel Peace Prize winners in history, of Henry Kissinger, who he was the Secretary of State for the United States during the Vietnam War, and for political reasons, he negotiated a truce, or more likely a surrender, with the Viet Cong, and he was given the Nobel Peace Prize. First of all, he was coordinating how to bomb Vietnam, North Vietnam, and then when, for political purposes, it became necessary for the United States to withdraw from that war, he negotiated the peace and got the Nobel Peace Prize. Yasser Arafat, he also got the Nobel Peace Prize, although he was coordinating bombing and killing, and when they decided to stop that, they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize. So it's all nonsense. It's all insincerity. Insincerity on top of insincerity. So devotees, they are real people. They're not this smiling and not smiling. Everything is centered on Krishna. It's not devotees don't live a drama. They don't make even being sadhus, they don't make a show of being a sadhu. It's not necessary for a devotee to wear big wooden shoes and have of course you can wear wooden shoes. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's not just a profile. It's not just or being nice. A devotee is being by his service to Krishna, his surrender to Krishna, that is automatically being nice. Srila Prabhupada said that just by smiling, a pure devotee makes so many disciples. That's the Vaikuntha smile of a pure devotee. The smile of a devotee is not like the smile of a materialist. The smile of a materialist, it reflects his aspirations for happiness and forgetfulness of Krishna. It reflects his inner confusion and delusion, whereas the smile of a devotee, it's the smile of the soul. It's not the smile of the ego pretending to be happy, but the smile of the pure soul in contact with Krishna, who is known as Smita Krishna. One name Srila Prabhupada gave to one of his disciples, who I met recently in Mayapur, Smita Krishna Swami. Interestingly, we met at the Ganges, at the Ganga, and one of my disciples was there, Smita Krishna. So, I gave him that name because he's always smiling. So Smita Krishna Das met Smita Krishna Swami. That's the Vaikuntha smile. It's completely different to that of the smiling of the vikarmis, karmis, gyanis, yogis, or even that of mixed devotees who worship Krishna for the sake of getting something from him. They're trying to exploit Krishna. So the smile of a sinful person reflects the sinfulness within. The smile of a pious person who believes in God, it reflects their piety, but it's not the, it still is not the smile of the soul. So there are many photos of Srila Prabhupada smiling, and there are also photos of Srila Prabhupada not smiling. We shouldn't think that a pure devotee is unhappy if he appears to be so. Jato deko vaishnava bebaha dugnis choijane hotaha parananda shuk. Vrindavanadas Thakur tells us that if we see superficially that a Vaishnava appears to be unhappy, we should know that is just another reflection of his transcendental bliss. One time Srila Prabhupada was shown one photo of himself. That's quite a well-known photo. I believe that was taken by Gurudas Prabhu. In which Srila Prabhupada, sometimes you may have seen photos in which his lips appear to be turned down the other way, just opposite to smiling. And one devotee, I believe that was Yamuna Devi, she said that, she commented that Prabhupada looked very sad, and Prabhupada said that was a moment of ecstasy. So devotees, just like in the material world, happiness and distress, it's all distress. In spiritual existence, happiness and distress, it's all bliss. So for a non-devotee, smiling or not smiling, it's all distress. And for a devotee, smiling or not smiling, it's all bliss. So smiling among materialists is generally, well, like everything they do, it's superficial. But maybe it's more superficial because they're trying to show that they're happy when they're not. So again, it may be the maybe those who don't smile, they're at least you could say they're less superficial. They're miserable and they know it and they show it. Compared to the miserable people who are just they're miserable and but they want to show that they're happy. Once in Russia, I saw a there was some invitation to some poster, and it had photos of many of the sannyasis who regularly visit Russia and who are initiating there. And every single photo is one of them smiling, like they, as if they seem to think that the main qualification of a guru is simply to smile. That's the idea. Guru is someone nice, he smiles at you, and that's all. Makes you feel good. Very superficial, again, superficial understanding. Sadhu, is he makes you feel good, that's all. No, not he makes you feel, well, he makes you feel good by making you good, which is just different to making you feel good, although you're not good. But the difference is to make you feel good by actually being good, which means he may have to what is that? Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. That is the duty of a sadhu. Tato du sangha utsreja. Satsu sajeta buddhiman. One should associate with, one should give up bad associations. Satsu sajeta buddhiman. One should hear from devotees. What will they speak? They will speak words that will cut all the illusions in our heart. So when I saw that poster with all with like about 12, 13 gurus, and every one of them with a big smile on their face, I thought, this is all bogus. who is making that poster? They're cheating themselves in Krishna consciousness and wanting to promote that cheating to others. So, devotees are happy. They are happy, they should be happy. But they don't cultivate this false, superficial happiness. The happiness comes from surrender to Krishna. There's no substitute. Nowadays we have muscular kirtan, which showing big muscles while you play mridanga. We have very sweet-sounding kirtan, nice. Devotees are trying to be nice and all, but there's so many ways in which one can be try to be happy in this material world, or even in Krishna consciousness, we can try to impart the superficial happiness of materialists. Psychologists will advise us. Just try to smile, try to be happy, but there's no substitute for surrender to Krishna. There's no substitute. Giving up material desires, giving up all hope of being able to be happy in any way except then surrender to Krishna. This is required. So devotees are not so superficial, like nowadays, sadhus, it's thought that their job is to advise people. What is this? Personality development and public speaking and stress management, time management. How to adjust your miserable existence so that you can be happy in this material world. All rascaldom. The idea that you can be happy in this material world is all rascaldom. So devotees don't participate in this. Time management means you spend all your time serving Krishna. That is time management. That's it. You don't need to go to a big lecture or big course. Just that's it, time management explained. That's all. Stress management, well, stress, not stress. Anyway, serve Krishna, that's all. Stress or not stress. We don't say no stress. Arjuna wanted to be free from stress. Krishna said, forget it, go and fight. Be stressed, I'm with you. So stress management means act for Krishna. That's all. Krishna is protecting us. Goptritve varanam, except Krishna is protecting us. That's all. Don't think I am the doer. So again, seeing everything through the eye of Shastra just means we have to see everything in terms of, are we surrendered to Krishna? Are these people surrendered to Krishna? They're praised in the world, the great peace, workers for peace, protecting the environment, promoting animal rights, and so on and so on. We have to see. Are they surrendered to Krishna? If not, simply rascals, that's all. However good or nice they may seem to be. All right, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Comment? You don't have to tell jokes in class, by the way. The idea, tell a joke, make everyone laugh. Not required. You may do, but the serious message of the Shastra, that is to be conveyed. Whether it's how it is conveyed, that you have to see. But it's not like, you know, you have a course, how to give a class. One story, one joke, one shloka. This is all nonsense. You speak what is in Shastra, that's all. Yeah. Sometimes in kirtan, one devotee tries to get another devotee to dance, even though he's not feeling like it. That's good. Should do. Dancing for Krishna is transcendental. It's completely spiritual activity. Artificial, it may seem artificial, but it's not artificial, because to dance for Krishna is the activity of the soul. Artificial, if you think that's artificial, that's like saying, well, I don't feel like serving Krishna, therefore I won't. But we should serve Krishna. Say, when I feel like serving Krishna, that I don't want to be dishonest. You see, I want to be, you know, honest. I want to be honest with myself. And honestly, I don't feel like serving Krishna, therefore I won't. And then beat the rascal on the head. Rascal. You should say, this is all excuses simply to avoid serving Krishna. You don't feel like serving Krishna? That is our disease. That is Maya. So, enthusing someone to dance in kirtan, even if they don't feel like it, that is great mercy upon that person. If someone goes to a party and they're supposed to dance, they don't feel like it, then they give them some alcohol to drink and then they relax and then they start dancing. That's something completely different. Anything else? When we're preaching to new devotees, we try to be nice to them. That's good. That's all right. You should do. Take special care. Yeah, preaching means to communicate with people and bring them into Krishna consciousness. They're not in Krishna consciousness, so we can't expect them to fully surrender to Krishna on the spot. So we have to deal with them to some extent in a manner that they can relate to. Otherwise there's no communication, there's no preaching. So that should be there. It's not necessarily that we go up to everyone and say, you are simply a rascal. But that Srila Prabhupada often used to quote. I have that. Can you bring my shirt with that verse? That how to preach. I was present once when a devotee asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how should we preach? And Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse, that you should go up to someone and flatter him and tell him, sir, you are very great, you are a very pious person. And then that person will say, oh, so you have understood. Then what do you want? And then you say to that person, you give up all your hogwash concocted ideas and simply surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you get their attention by nice behavior, and then you tell them the actual fact. Yeah, here's that verse. Where is it? Ah, you learned it? Can you say it? Dante nithaya chunakam padayo nipatya kritva chakha kushatam etad ahang bravimi. Hey sadhava, oh you very great pious person, sakalam eva vihaya duraj, just give up, throw away at a long distance all your hogwash ideas. This is how Prabhupada translated. And then Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kuruta Anuragam. And then you become attached. You develop affection for the lotus feet of Chaitanya Chandra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the preaching method. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, we'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.